Right, we're at the beginning of the third perek now. Again, we're towards the end of the third perek, almost in the Daf Yomi. But in order to put the third perek into a little perspective, we want to go back to the beginning of the third perek that addresses the issue of an onen, who's never someone who lost one of his close relatives, and that relative who passed on has not yet been buried. And in the Lashon HaMishnah, that's called Misha Meso Mutal Lefano. And that means it's before Kvura. And the Mishnah goes on to specify that such a person is exempt from mitzvahs in general. For some reason, I don't know why, the Mishnah specifies not only the general rule, but the specifics. And that is Kriyat Shema, Tefillah, and Tefillin. So we're going to take a look at Rashi, and we're going to try to figure out why, what is this halacha rooted in? You know, what's the root of this halacha that an onen during this period of time between the misa, the death of one of his relatives, and its burial, is potur min ha-mitzvah. So Rashi says, shemeso. This is the opening line in Rashi here in Perek Shlishi, the first word. The first comment of Rashi in Perek Shlishi, Lefishu Torud b'machsheves kvuroso, vav yedumio dechasan depotu mishum tirda de mitzvah. We have the case of a chasan, which was earlier in the Masechta, in the second Perek, and there we established, based on the pasuk who belechtecha baderech, that someone who's torud, in Yiddish we call it farnumut, I don't know, in English I guess you'd say he's obsessed or preoccupied with...
Fartumult,
yeah, he's preoccupied with that first intimacy of the first time that he's... He's actually clinching the marriage relationship, yeah. So he's nervous and he's torud.
Wants to do the right thing.
Right, well, Tosus and the Rambam, the different sheet is exactly what makes him torud. Some say he's afraid he won't do it correctly, and others say he might find it to be a ba'ula, which means that we have to activate the mission of being in Ksuba. He's got to run to Bezda. Whole different understanding of why he's torud. But in any event, he's torud. He's preoccupied. He can't focus on let's say Kriyat Shema, for example, which requires a certain amount of focus, and therefore he's potur. Because he's torud b'tirda the mitzvah. He's involved in a mitzvah and he's so preoccupied with that mitzvah that he can't focus. And that's why an onen, according to Rashi, is potur min ha-mitzvah. That's also the Rambam Shita in the fourth parak of Hilchos Kriyat Shema. Misha yolibo torud v'nechpaz l'dvar mitzvah, potur mikol mitzvah kriyas ha-shema. If he's torud and nechpaz, nechpaz is even a more profound kind of preoccupation with something. He's single-mindedly focused on a certain mitzvah. He's potter from other mitzvahs, including Kriyat Shema. And Lefichach, the Rambam has under Lefichach the following. He has number one, Chasan Shenasa Besula. Potter mi Kriyat Shema Shiyovol Lefisha Ein Daita Pnu Yashem Lo Yimtzala Besulin. That's what I mentioned before, the unique sheet of the Rambam. He's worried maybe he won't find it to be a Besula. Then the Rambam goes on to say, but if he's marrying a woman who's already been married before, then there's no tirda the mitzvah, and therefore he's chayav in other mitzvahs. And then the Rambam goes on to say, misha meis lo mes. So too, someone who buries one of his close relatives, the Rambam says, ein daito pnuyo likros, and therefore he's potter from kriyat shema. So the Rambam equates, as Rashi did before him, the p'tur of chasan of kriyat shema with the p'tur of an onen, who is involved in burying the dead. And in both cases, the case of the chasan and the case of misha meis mutul follow the yisod means the foundation or the reason, the root for the p'tur, why is he exempt from mitzvahs, is because he's osek b'mitzvah, he's torah b'mitzvah, and osek b'mitzvah is torah b'mitzvah. So that's Rashi and the Rambam. Now we want to study Tosfos. Now Tosfos is based on the Yerushalmi. And again, if you have the Gemara, you'll see it's the second Tosfos in this Perek. And Tosfos says, B'Yerushalmi Mefarsh Taima Omer Rav Bun K'siv L'man Tizkar Ad Kol Yemei Chayecha. So the Torah emphasizes the kol and yemei, so it's yemei, and then it says chayecha. So the yemei chayecha means the days of life. What does that mean, the days of life? That's a strange kind of phrase. So the Yerushalmi in a halachic vein says yomim shata osek b'chayim, the days of life means the days that you're dealing with the living, and everything that goes on is with the living. Velo, to the exclusion of yomim shata osek b'mesim, to the exclusion of days where you're involved with the dead, you're not involved with the living. Now Rav Soloveitchik wants to know whether or not Tosfos is arguing against Rashi. Rashi had quoted the universal principle of Osek v'mitzvah, Potter v'mitzvah, and Tosfos seems to quote the Yerushalmi with a special drasha and a unique yalfusa to exempt someone who's involved with the dead from the mitzvahs. And he wants to suggest that maybe there is a difference between Rashi and Tosfos, that Tosfos, based on the Yerushalmi, is not activating the general universal principle of Osek b'mitzvah, Potter min ha-mitzvah, but a very specific principle that applies here in the case of an onen. And then we're going to try to figure out if there's a nafkamina, is there a difference, or it's just a theoretical, conceptual machlokas. And he wants to say the following, that perhaps Tosfos could be understood based on a Gemara on Daf Chaf. Now, Daf Chaf is in a sense a turning point in this perek called Misha Meso, because up until Daf Chaf we're dealing with issues like Onen, but from Daf Chaf and on, the Gemara addresses itself to another major super duper concept which has tremendous ramifications. That's called Kavod HaBrios. For example, the Gemara is going to wonder what happens if a man is wearing shatnez in his garment and he's out there in the public eye, and he all of a sudden he becomes aware of the fact that he's wearing shatnez. It would be undermining to his very human dignity if he would have to strip in the middle of the public, because he's not allowed to wear these begadim, and he didn't know that until he found out and he was in the middle of the shuk. So that's called gadol kavod habrios. And this principle of kavod habrios is extended to include even a dead body, a deceased, which is called kavod hames. And kavod hames is a very, very fundamental and urgent halachic issue. For example, we're going to have sugyas here in the third perek that deal with what's called loig larosh, things that you're not allowed to do in the presence of the dead. We're going to talk about the urgency of burying the dead, not to delay the burial of the dead. We're going to talk about shmiras hames, those who are in charge of guarding the dead, making sure that no creature would tamper with the dead body. We're going to have halachas called hesped, which is eulogy l'kavod hames. We're going to have what's called Shura, which is also Kavod Hames. The burial itself is all these are different aspects of Kavod Habrios which apply to a mess. And Rav Soloveitchik wants to suggest that according to Tosfos, the halacha of an onen should be classified under this general concept called Kavod Hames. And herein lies a tremendous nafkamina between Rashi, when I say Rashi, I mean Rashi and the Rambam on the one hand, and Tosfos on the other hand. What happens in the case of an onen who wants to voluntarily fulfill the mitzvahs? Here's the chakira. One way of learning it is that he's potter min ha-mitzvahs. He's exempt. But if he wants to take it upon himself, like a woman who wants to be a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, she can take it upon herself, that's fine. The other approach is to say no. That when it says, Misha Mesa Mutul von a potter min ha-mitzvahs, it means that he is excluded from the mitzvahs. He's absolutely prohibited from getting involved in the mitzvahs. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to say that these two definitions depend upon the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. If you learn like Rashi, he's Torud, you know, he's mentally preoccupied, he cannot focus on Kriyat Shema and the other mitzvahs, then if he says, well, I can do it, and he voluntarily wants to perform the mitzvahs, we can allow him to do so. Because any case of Osik mitzvah, Potem mitzvah means that as long as he doesn't destroy any other mitzvah, he doesn't undermine another mitzvah, he's allowed to take it upon himself to fulfill the mitzvah. That's called a ptur. But if you're gonna subsume the ptur of an onen in mitzvahs under the general rubric of kavod abrios and kavod ames in specific, then when it comes to kavod ames, you know, this is like no compromise. Did you ever hear that phrase? No compromise. There's certain people, no compromise. I remember when I was studying in graduate school, I studied constitutional law, so there was a whole issue about freedom of speech. You know, do we allow for compromise? And the issue would be, if we take freedom of speech to its extreme, and this was the opinion of one of the famous members of the Supreme Court, that you're allowed to get up in, the law has to guarantee your freedom to get up in the middle of a movie theater and yell fire if people die. They'll be trampled to death. So that's an extremist. When it comes to kavod ames, the halacha is very extreme. You know, there's no compromise, no cutting edges. And if the Torah says you're involved with the mess, it's yomim shata osek im amesim, then there's no involvement in chayim whatsoever. If you get involved in chayim, that undermines the kavod ames. So what I want you to see now is on the left column on your page, he says, "Ayin b'tosis v'Rashi v'tosis." Oh, this is Tosis Dira Maskel Einu Mavarech. So let's go back. See, we were studying the Tosis Dira Maskel Potter. Now, if you fast forward to the last Tosis on the Amud, the Brisa Tosis quoting is commenting on a Brisa, and the Brisa says, "Misha Beisav Mutul Lefanov," etc. And then it says, V'einu mevarech. That means he doesn't make a bracha rishonu. When he eats something, he doesn't make a bracha. If you've ever gone through it, you know how strange it is. I went through it 3 times in my life, unfortunately, and it's the weirdest thing in the world. But Tosfos says that if you look at Rashi carefully, Rashi says, "Einu mevarech, einu tzarech levarech, berkas hamotzi." What does that sound like? Einu tzarech levarech. Would he be allowed to if he wants to? Eino tzarech levarech. He'd be allowed to. And Tosis reformulates Rashi and he says eino zakuk levarech. He's not obligated to make the bracha. Mashma mitov pirushu, would seem from Rashi, shin rotzel levarech rashad. If he decides he wants to make the bracha, he can do so. Niu, now he quotes a different Yerushalmi, not the same Yerushalmi that we saw in the earlier Tosis. If he wants to be machmer on himself, we're not going to listen to him. And lekach, therefore, Tosfos based on Yerushalmi nira lomar she'enu mevarech enu rashoi levarech. He's not allowed to be mevarech. Umefarish b'Yerushalmi lama. Why would the halacha reject his bracha? Ukaar ibn kvodo shalmes. Then if he's focused on his bracha, that means he's distracting himself from his primary obligation of kavod ames, then he undermines kavod ames. V'niral d'lishita sayu kai. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to claim that this is all a consistent machlokes. Rashi holds that the reason why an onen is exempt from mitzvahs is an exemption. It's a ptur. You know, he's involved in his mitzvah, so the Torah says you're not obligated in another mitzvah. Well, okay, I'm not obligated, but if I want to voluntarily fulfill that other mitzvah, I should be allowed to do so. But according to Tosfos says it's halacha in kavod ames, yomim shata osek b'chayim, that your mitzvahs will apply, your obligations will apply when you're involved with the living, but if you're involved with the dead, then forget about mitzvahs, you're only involved with the dead, is then there's an isur li'onein likros kriyat shema, or levarech for that matter, mishum kovet ha-mes, it's not a matter of option. We're not just relieving you of your obligation and it's voluntary if you want to take it upon yourself. No, it's an absolute exclusion from the mitzvah, because if you get involved in the mitzvahs, which is Osek B'chaim, then you're undermining the Kavod HaMetz. So just to summarize, we have Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos as to what the source for the din of Ptur mitzvahs in Onin is concerned, but really it's way beyond that. It's not just an issue what the source is. Are we quoting the halacha b'lechtcha b'derech to the exclusion of a chassan who's tarud, and we're applying that to a person who lost one of his relatives, he's tarud? Or is it the pasuk l'mantizkor kol yemei chayecha? It's way, way beyond that. The machlokus is so much more fundamental. The question is, do we view the din of an onen in mitzvah as part of a universal halacha of osek b'mitzvah, potum in a mitzvah? We exempt you from mitzvah because you're involved in mitzvah A, you don't have to take upon yourself to fulfill mitzvah B. Or is it a specific halacha of kavod hametz? And Tosis would hold, based on the Yerushalmi, that yomim shata osek b'chayim, v'lo yomim shata osek b'mesim, is halacha in kavod hametz. That there's something called osek b'mesim. Mesim means kavod hametz. And therefore, you're not allowed to be osek b'chaim. And the difference between Rashi and Tosfos is going to be how to interpret Eino Mevarech. Rashi is going to learn Eino Mevarech, Eino Tzarech Levarech. And Tosfos is going to learn that Eino Mutal Levarech. He's not even allowed to make a bracha, even if he voluntarily wants to do so, because Rashi is learning it from the perspective of Ptur. And a ptur means that you're exempt, but if you want to take it upon yourself, that's fine. Tosfos, on the other hand, learns it from a din of kavod hametz, and when it's kavod hametz, ein shomim lo. We're not going to listen to him when he wants to fulfill mitzvahs and be osek b'chaim. Okay, now let's talk about something else. The end of the Mishnah is about nosei hamita. If you take a look at the Mishnah, after the Mishnah is established that an onen is potter from kriyat shma tefillah, tefillin, and kol mitzvah, now the Mishnah goes on and speaks about nosei hamita. Those are the people who are carrying the dead body. I think in fancy English it's called a bier, B-I-E-R.
Oh, yeah.
So these are the bier carriers, or the pallbearers.
They're accompanying
the dead to his final repose.
Or even watching. I think that also mentions the whole idea of you have to watch over, God forbid, you know, like in those days when animals would be all around you. So
right, we'll get to that later, the Shomrei HaMetz.
Yeah.
And then there's the Nosei Hamita V'Chilufeihen, right, that there were those who would take over after a certain while. So let's say Reuven would carry, you know, Reuven and his entourage would be carrying the dead, and then Shimon would come along with his group, and they would take over and carry the dead. And everybody,
a different watch,
and everybody get involved in the mitzvah. They're all part of a mitzvah. However, the Mishnah gets into a whole discussion here about li'achar mita. Li'achar mita means you've already carried the deceased, and now you fall behind, and you have to be ready, sort of like in the on-deck circle, in case your turn will come around again. So there's going to be a whole discussion about, we know that those who are carrying the dead, as they're doing so, they are certainly exempt from mitzvahs. What about those who are li'achar mita, but we still need them? And here we're going to get into a whole discussion about, would you be able to find the time for Kriyat Shema Beinu Beinu, you know, between the time that you finished your obligation to carry and the next round when you'll be on duty again? And here there may be a difference between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah. And then we're going to talk about the Shura, and the Mishnah addresses the case of the Shura, the lines and lines and lines of people, and the Ovel goes by, or the lines go by the Ovel, two different minhagim, but then they're going to be menachim the Ovel. They're also potter, but here the Mishnah makes a difference between the pnimiyim and the chitzonim. The pnimiyim are those who see the Ovel, they have eye contact with the Ovel, they're exempt from mitzvahs, and the chitzonim are the ones who fall behind, they're in the second row, or the second aisle, they don't actually have contact with the with the Avel, in other words, what we call eye contact, so they might be obligated in certain mitzvahs.
And then there would be the whole question, I would imagine, also preoccupation with regard to concentration, because of the sadness that some of them may feel, whether they can, in some cases, I think that they can say the Shema even almost mechanically, unfortunately, tragically, sadly, because of the fact that they might not be so, and should one even say it when it's not concentrating, knowing that it's
all right, but let's focus now on what's called kvuras hames. That's what we're going to focus on for the time being. Now we're going to apply the principle that someone who's involved in kvura is potur from other mitzvahs. So now the Mishnah has, again, let's go over two parts. There's the relative, the Onain, one of the seven, he lost one of his seven close relatives. He is totally single-mindedly focused on his obligation to bury the dead. That he's got the primary chiyuv of burying the dead. He's part of Kriyat Shema Tefillah, Tefillin Kol Mitzvah Torah. And that's because of his obligation to bury the dead. Then we go beyond the relatives and we talk about the Nosei HaMita. The Mishnah now addresses the status of those who are involved in Kvuras HaMes. They don't have the primary chiv of Kvuras HaMes. They're not preoccupied, 24-7 with Kvuras HaMes. But at this moment, they are obligated in burying the dead. They're also potter, because Osik V'mitzvah potter V'na Mitzvah. So if we take Rashi Shita, then an onen who lost one of his relatives, insofar as he's obligated in kvuras hames, he's potum in a mitzvah. Then, according to Rashi, we're taking that same halacha of onen and we're extending it to anyone who's involved in kvura, because at the moment you're involved in kvura, you have an obligation to bury the dead, and therefore you're potum in a mitzvah. But here's where the question has to be raised. The Nosei HaMita, exactly what are they involved in? Are they involved in Kvura, or are they involved in setting up the Kvura, if you follow what I mean? They're not actually burying the dead, they're carrying the dead. Now, you might ask me, what's the difference? In any event, they are obligated in Kvura, and part of the mitzvah of Kvura is to bring the dead to the Makom Kvura. So the Nosei HaMita are certainly involved in Kvura. That, there's no doubt about that. However, the difference between the first halacha, which we spoke about, the relative who lost one of his Zion Krov, and that's the Onen, and the case of the Nosei HaMita, is that the Onen is Tarud. Tarud means he's preoccupied. In the case of others who are not together Onen, because they're not relatives, although they're obligated in Kvura, but you couldn't say that they're Tarud b'machsheves ha-Kvura. It's not this all-encompassing 24-7, every moment of the day, until the dead is finally buried, they're thinking about nothing but Kvura. They go about their normal business. They have a Maisa Kvura, meaning at a certain moment in time, they are actually implementing the Kvura. That's called Nesias HaMita. Again, I'm just going to try to repeat this. There's a difference between the Onen and others. Even though in both cases, the Onen or others who are not relatives, there's a Chovas Kvura. But in the case of an Onen, it's much more than just a Chovas Kvura. It's what we call Tarud B'tirda the mitzvah. And tirda the mitzvah is something that extends and encompasses a larger and a greater unit of time. It's not limited to moments of action A or action B. It's just the entire mindset of thinking about the dead and how to bury the dead and how to do whatever has to be done. That is the concept called tirda. Machsheves tirda. Not so in the case of others. There you could talk about osik b'mitzvah, not mitzad the tirda, because the actual is askus b'mitzvah, what I call the maisa kvura. Let's see it inside. He says, "V'nira d'lishitas Rashi yisoda p'tur d'misha mesa mutalefanov who machmas tirda she'tarid b'machshavas kvuras mesa." So, in other words, we start with the chovas kvura because the primary obligation of kvura is incumbent upon the relative, so he has that primary chovas kvura. But from chovas kvura, we go one step further, and we have tirda the mitzvah. Torid b'machsheves kvura. Again, this is an exact parallel to chasan, because just like chasan has the mitzvah of be'ila rishona, he now becomes torid in that mitzvah. Upot. No. So what's an afgemina? What's the difference between saying that he's actually fulfilling his obligation of kvura or saying that he's torid b'machsheves kvura? Is the answer is that Torud extends way beyond the Maisa Kvura. Afal Pisha Eino Osek B'Maisa Kvura Mamish. Like, for example, today we have the Chevra Kadisha. Or alternatively, forget about the Chevra Kadisha. You go to a funeral and everybody's getting involved in burying the dead. It's not the relatives. So the relatives, the close relatives, are not actually involved in what we call his Askus B'Maisa Kvura. But rather, it's Torud v'machsheves kvura. Correct? But when it comes to nosei hamita, the nosei hamita, they don't really have the status of chovas kvura. You know what I mean? 24/7. I don't know how to describe it right now, but it means they don't have the primary obligation of chovas kvura. That's not their responsibility. That's not their headache. They now have a chiyuv to bury the dead. So as long as they're involved in burying the dead, then we apply the principle of b'shivtcha v'isecha and osik b'mitzvah potem n'mitzvah. But to say about the nosei amita that they have the status of torud b'tirda d'mitzvah, that we wouldn't say. So we're in the case of other people who are not relatives, we're going to always focus on the maisa kvura. And we're going to have to sort of define, you know, cut out the parameters exactly, chisel out, you know, what are the parameters of chovas kvura, or shall we say maisa kvura. Not so in the case of the onen. The onen is like the chasan, who's torud v'machsheves be'ila, v'machsheves mitzvah. Fine. Now look at the bottom of the page. He says, "Mashenke nosei amita p'tur midin osek b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah bi'almana." They don't have this new halacha, which is derived from v'lecha v'aderech prat l'chasan, because the chasan is tarud b'machsheves bi'ila. The nosei amita are only part in the general halacha of v'shivtcha v'isecha b'sheves didei v'lo b'sheves b'mitzvah, that you're osek b'mitzvah. And therefore, you're part of a mitzvah. To lo rami alayu, they don't share the responsibility, and here we turn the page, of mitzvahs kvuras ames. That responsibility is singled out, is exclusive to the onen. Valkein enom trudim, you can't be tarud. So again, they're like two categories of chovas kvura. There's the obligation on the onen, and there's an obligation on the nosei amita. The obligation on the onen is such that it's all-encompassing. It excludes any other mitzvah. And mentally, he's preoccupied with the kavod ames, whatever that kavod ames entails, whether it's kvura, whether it's watching the dead body, the whole gamut. That's called torah. He's completely preoccupied. But in the case of others, they don't have this preoccupation, that mental state of tirda. Their obligation is simply because of the maisa kvura, the very moment, you pinpoint that moment of the maisa kvura. Let me give you perhaps another example of something. You know, I don't know if you know this, but I'm very interested in what I call Talmudic methodology. I've written on this, but I have a whole series of lectures. So when I study Talmudic methodology, I very much like to find parallels, because the more parallels you have, the more the method becomes part of you. It's sort of like a I'd give the example of a person in sports. You know, the more exercise they do, the more the body knows exactly, without even thinking, you know, to respond in a situation. So I'll give you another case of this exact, I think, mamish exact parallel. And that's the mitzvah of simcha. So we're going now from, unfortunately, burying the dead all the way to the opposite extreme, to simcha. So on Yontif it says, v'samachta b'chagecha. And there's another mitzvah of simcha on Purim. But the fundamental difference between the two is the following. And there are proofs for this. Simcha with regard to Yontif is all-encompassing. The entire day is dedicated to simcha. And everything you do and everything you achieve and every mental and physical preoccupation over the course of the entire day of Yontif 24/7 is simcha. Not so in the case of Purim. Purim, the halacha is going to pinpoint what we call moments of simcha. So for example, when you eat the suda, so that's a suda that has to be a kiyum of simcha, that's the simchas Purim. So for example, if there were a halacha of osik mitzvah, potter mitzvah, and yontif, because he's osik b'simcha, it would be all encompassing, it would cover the entire day. But in Purim, I wouldn't say that you're potter from all the mitzvahs, I would say that during certain specific moments, you know, you're eating your meat and drinking your wine, that's when you're let's say involved in simcha, fulfilling your mitzvah simcha. Here also, in the case of the onein, it's all encompassing, 24/7. He's got the primary chiyuv, the responsibility, the headache of covered up mess. Masha'en came in the case of others who aren't related to the deceased. There we can pinpoint the moments of chovas kvura to specific actions that he's involved in. When he's involved in burying the dead and carrying the dead, that's called osek b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. So according to Rashi, the din of tirda, the mitzvah, is unique in the case of burying the dead to an onen, and we have a parallel tirda, the mitzvah, in the case of a chasan. And that halacha of tirda would apply even on moments that you're not actually involved in fulfilling the mitzvah. So the mitzvah creates a state of tirda, but it's not limited to those moments of his askus. So for example, the chassan is not yet, you know, being boel, but yet the whole night he's potter from kriyat shema, etc. Or the onen is right now not involved in kvura befal, he's not burying the dead, but he's potter min ha-mitzvah. So that's called tirda hapoteres. But then we have another din, and that's the p'tur of osik v'mitzvah, potter mitzvah. That applies even in the case of someone who's marrying an almana, because even though he's not torahed, but he's involved in the mitzvah of marrying her, by erev al tanach yadecha. Or for example, the case of nosei amita, right now, they're not torahed, but they are involved in the mitzvah, the physical preoccupation in the mitzvah. That sets off a general p'tur of osik v'mitzvah, potter mitzvah. But at this point we have a Rambam. The Rambam that we saw before seems to lead us to a different conclusion. Because he seems to assume that even Torud B'tirda, the mitzvah, like the case of the Chosin, is also just another application of the universal principle of Otsik Mitzvah, Potun Mitzvah. Let's go back to the Rambam, which is on the flip side of your page. The Rama on the right column says, "Misha yalibo taru v'nechpas l'dvar mitzvah potu kol mitzvahs kriyat shma fi chasan shenasa besula potu mi kriyat shva chiyovol fi shein dai to pnuya etc etc. Aval anosias abuula afal pisha osek b'mitzvah chayev likros hoil v'ein lo dovrish meval bil daito." So if Soloveitchik sees a whole new perspective here in this Rambam, you know, you could read the Rambam and miss it, but he's pointing out very clearly that when we talk about the p'tur of osek v'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah, which is universal, it's called Torah Kula, that itself is called Torah v'machsheves mitzvah. And he says that nosei sabu'ula afal pisha osek v'mitzvah, right, he's not Torah b'mitzvah, ain't dover shem mevalbel daito. So it sounds like the Rambam is saying that you can only apply the principle of osek b'mitzvah when you're Torah b'mitzvah. So now you might ask, what's the difference therefore between Misha Mesa Mutalafanov and between the Nosea Mita? Both of them are potter because they're Torah B'tir to the mitzvah. So it's not two different categories. So we worked very hard to establish, according to Rashi, two different categories that are fundamentally different. One is the case of the Onen who's Torah B'tir to the mitzvah, and the other case is that of the Nosea Mita who's now involved in the Maisa Kvura. But from the Rambam, you see it's all one and the same, because the Rambam, when he distinguishes between Chasan Hanoseas HaBasula and Hanoseas HaBa'ula, the Rambam says that the difference is that Noseas HaBa'ula is going to be Chayav in Mitzvahs because he's not Torah B'tirda, which means that Osik B'mitzvah Potem in a Mitzvah as a universal principle only applies when you're Torah in the Mitzvah. And that's going to apply to the cases of Chasan and now the case of Onen, because in both of those cases he's Torah B'mitzvah. But fundamentally, there's no difference between the Chasan and anyone else, so I should say the Onen and anyone else, because they both come under the Ptur of Osik B'mitzvah Potem. It's just that in one case you have Tirdo, in the other case you're only Torah at the moment that you're burying the dead or carrying the dead for its burial. And now the Rav wants to backtrack. And he wants to say, no, even the Rambam would indicate that there's a difference between Misha Mesa Mutalafanov and Nosea Mita. Why? Because the Ptur of Misha Mesa Mutalafanov, which is Torah Deter to the Mitzvah, that's because of his Chovas Kvura. The Ptur of Nosea Mita is because of Tirda B'Esek HaMitzvah. Wow, that's interesting. You hear what he's saying now? We thought that the case of Misha Mesa Mutalafanov is simply Torah B'tir to the Mitzvah. That's in Rashi's reference. We put all the emphasis on Torah B'tir to the Mitzvah. And in our first round on the Rambam, that's also the way we said it. It's all Torah B'tir to the Mitzvah. Mm-hmm. But now the Rav is saying no. That the Poter, the reason why an Onen is Poter in a Mitzvah is not because he's Torah B'tir to the Mitzvah, but because of the Chovas Mitzvah Mutelis Olav. In the case of Nosea Mita, that's where the Ptur is because of Tirda. Wow, that's pretty wild. Let me try to explain that. There's Torah B'tirda the Mitzvah, and then there's the Chovas Mitzvah. And paradoxically, flipping things, just a complete 180 degree turnaround for the Rashi Shita, the Rambam holds that it's Dafka, the Nosea Mita who are Potter Midin Tirda. Why? Because the moment that they are carrying the dead, they have to be preoccupied with carrying the dead. In the case of the Onen, his Ptur of Tirda the Mitzvah is because of the Chovas Kvura. And based on this, he has a question here on the next column. We'll try to wrap it up soon. He says, Yesh l'stapek. He vacillates back and forth according to Tosus that quotes the Yerushalmi that we derive the Ptur of Mesa Mutum from Laman Tizkar, Yom Shatosik B'chayim lo Yom Shatosik B'mesim. With this derivation, this Yalfusa, apply only to Misha Mesa Mutlufanov, or would apply to the Nosea Mita who are Pturim also Midin Osik Mitzvah Potter Mitzvah? Could be the Nosea Mita Potter because of Yomim Shata Osik B'chaim Velo Yomim Shata Osik B'mesim. So for example, let's say, again I don't know exactly how you would pull this off, but let's say the Nosea Mita would have to make a brach on something. Right? They didn't recite Birchas Shachar that morning. Right, because the Kvura started at a very early hour. Whatever the case might be, would they be allowed, the Nosea Mita, to recite that bracha? In the case of an Onen, Tosus says the Onen is not allowed to recite a bracha because he derives the Ptur of mitzvahs and brachas from Yomim Shatosek B'chayim V'lo Yomim Shatosek B'mesim. What about the case of a Nosea Mita? Does he also come under that halacha? Or is that halacha singularly limited to the onein, to the relative? Perhaps the nosav mita, not included at all in that pasuk of kol yimei chayecha, they are potter because osik b'mitzvah potter min a mitzvah. And the difference might be is whether or not the nosav mita could voluntarily fulfill a mitzvah or recite a bracha. If their p'tur is derived from Yom Shatah Osik Mem B'chaim, Satos has already said that according to Yushalmi, that would be a no-no for them to volunteer for the mitzvah, that they can't do. But if you go with the Shita that the Nosei HaMita are not exempt because of Yom Shatah Osik B'chaim, which is uniquely limited and restricted to the Onein, then if you're dealing with Osik Mitzvah Potter Mitzvah, then perhaps they could take it upon themselves voluntarily to make the bracha. And that's what he says, Afim name of the Travayu P'tur Migzeres HaKosav, he says, Yesh Chiluk Beineim, even if they're both the Onein and the Nosei HaMita are included on the Yom Shatah Osik B'chaim, there's still a fundamental difference between the two. That Misha Mesa Mutalov Lekovro is considered Al Pidin as an Osek B'mitzvah even when he's not involved in the Maisa Kvura. He's still considered dedicated to the Mason, right? He has to be dedicated to the Mason even though right now he's not involved in burying the dead. But if you have a Nosei HaMita, his p'tur is only at the very moment that he is Osek Mamish B'kvura, but it could be that at that moment that he's Osek B'kvura, we're not going to give him any option and we're going to not permit him to do mitzvahs, because it comes under Yom Shatah Osek B'chaim V'lo Yom Shatah Osek V'meis. Okay, then Rabotai, this is where we're going to stop for today. There's a lot more here, but that's what we have.
Is it possible for you to send